words of the Bible. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this deal the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, who slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby see we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?
Thank you, Joe. The Bible begins from verse 9, just as a message I have from the translators that they've asked us to remember.
Already seen that several statements that we have in this verse are very absolute and very tough. And so sometimes we explain that by attributing such statement to believer or a statement to non-believer, but also to the new nature, to the old nature, but we have to be very careful because it's not the way John is reasoning, and it's not the way John is presenting things. It's the way of power, and and as a matter of fact, it's most used the way John is presenting. Things is most appropriate for the time being, because we are precisely in a time where there is so much confusion, and everybody is saying that they believe or they believe in God, and we don't know whether it's a real faith or not a real faith, so we are not even able to distinguish between believer and non-believer. So the statements here are most useful. They are only children of God, children of the devil. They are those who abide in him, those who do not abide. They are those who practice righteousness, those who doesn't. And so the absolute absolute character of all these statements is really what is needed for the last days, the time being.
In Vers 9 begegnen wir das zweite Mal dem Ausdruck aus Gott geboren.
In this verse 9 we come across the term born of God for the second time.
Im ganzen Brief finden wir das sechsmal.
In the Holy Epistle we find this six times.
Und hier wird betont, dass der aus Gott geborene nicht Sünde tut.
And here it is emphasized that he who is born of God does not practice sin.
Wir haben vor Sünde kein Artikel.
There's no article before sin.
Und somit heißt es einfach, dass das Leben eines solchen nicht bestimmt wird durch die Sünde.
And so it means that the life of such a person is not characterized by sin.
Wir haben hier ein bisschen mehr als einfach die Aussage, dass das neue Leben nicht sündigen kann.
We have more here than just the statement that the new life cannot sin.
Ich möchte das in zwei Beispielen versuchen zu erläutern.
And I'd like to explain this with the help of two examples.
Ein Fisch ist geschaffen, um im Wasser zu leben.
Fish has been created.
Ein Vogel ist so geschaffen, dass er in der Luft leben kann. Und ein wiedergeborener Mensch, ich sage ich mal, ist geschaffen, um nicht zu sündigen. Und wir wissen, ein natürlicher Mensch, der kann nur sündigen.
And we know that a natural man can only sin.
Und so glaube ich, dass das hier nochmals betont wird, dass wir das neue Leben haben, um eben nicht zu sündigen.
And so I believe that this is emphasized here, that we have the new life, so as not to sin.
Und dieses neue Leben wird hier umschrieben mit diesem Samen, der in uns gelegt wird.
This new life is described here as the seed that we have that remains in us.
Wir haben einen ähnlichen Vers in 1. Petrus 1, Vers 23, wo wir von diesem Samen lesen.
There's a similar verse in 1 Peter 1, 23, where we read about the seed. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God.
Also Gott hat in Verbindung mit seinem Wort diese Natur in uns gelegt.
So in connection with the word of God, God placed this nature into us.
Aber wir werden sehen in Verbindung mit Vers 10, dass der Same, oder ich muss so sagen, der Same spricht eigentlich, wenn ich das richtig sehe, von dem, was verborgen ist bei einem Mensch.
If I see this correctly, the seed speaks about that which is invisible with a person.
Es spricht von seinen Prinzipien und Motiven.
It speaks about his principles and motives.
Aber das sehen wir nicht.
But we can't see this.
Wir sehen es erst durch seine Lebensweise.
We can only see this from his way of living.
Und ich denke, dass das die Schlussfolgerung ist dann in Vers 10, dass man eben durch die Handlungsweise eines Menschen erkennen kann, ob er gläubig ist oder nicht.
And the conclusion then in verse 10 is that it is by a person's actions or behavior that you can tell whether he is a believer or not.
It has been rightly said several times already, as far as I have read, that God allowed all kinds of evil to present themselves during the first time of the assembly in this world, in order that by His Spirit He could give the right answers and could give directions to His children to know how to react and how to behave with a view to these evils. And this is the explanation for all these statements we find in this epistle, which clarify on the one hand the position and the character of the believer, and on the other hand those who might present themselves as alleged believers but are not in reality. It is amazing how often in the passage we have been considering alone, this contrast is presented. It was already the case in verse 29, we have those who practice the righteousness are born of him. And in verse 6, we had that everybody who believes, who abides in him, we have seen what that means, does not sin. Then in verse 7, he who practices righteousness is just or righteous as he is righteous. And now again, everyone who is born of God does not practice sin. And on the other hand, we have the negative characteristics of those who pretend to be believers but are not in reality. It must have been such an attack at that time to seduce and to get believers mixed up as to the truth that John was almost forced to write down these axioms of faith and also statements as to those who are the seducers, the misleaders, that things became clear. And if today we look around in Christianity, how many uncertainty, how much confusion is there even among true believers when it comes to judging what is right in the eyes of God and what not. What are the characteristics of the true believer, and what is something which we cannot accept in a believer? Mind you, it's not the assembly here, it's not the discipline, but it's just what John has always in mind, not the assembly, but the family of God. And even there, when in the beginning of the assembly, things were outwardly in order, there was no division yet, no open division, although the germs were already there. We live now in a time where the character of the assembly in the greater part of Christianity is not known anymore. But still, the character of the family of God will remain. It was always there, and it is always there, but it seems as if
Christian. You cannot do anything yourselves, work in yourselves, or do good works, or do exercises. Ye must be born again. Otherwise, if you do not experience that, you cannot be a true Christian according to the Word of God. It is not any of our activity, it is only the Word of God. And the result of this Word in our lives are stated here in an abstract manner, in a manner which shows this is the characteristic of a believer, that we are imperfect in our practice, that is not the main subject here, and on the other hand, you have the characteristics of the unbeliever. And it is very good and essential to hold fast these principles, because otherwise we will get mixed up and up to the point where even nominal Christians say all men are brethren, are brothers, and God loves the whole world. He does, and they can use all kinds of passages, and there is no difference because we are all loved by God. These sentences have all some sense of truth in them, but they cannot be put in the way I did it just now, but it is being done. And here we have, from the beginning, the clearness of statements that we must distinguish and can distinguish between a believer and an unbeliever. Everyone, whoever has been begotten of God does not practice sin, because his seed abides in him. We see that this practice sin does not mean that we stumble and that we fall into sin, but this is not the habitual thing in our lives. And the reason is the seed, I would say the seed in 1 Peter is very close to this, but I think it's not the same. Otherwise you could say the word abides in him, but I think it is here more the source of the life, Christ himself. It's the eternal life revealed, manifested in the person of the Lord, and that is the seed here which remains in us, which goes a little farther than the word, which is the cause or the instrument by which we are born again. The seed, I think in 1 Peter chapter 1 is a little different from here. His seed remains in us, and what a wonderful thing that even if we feel, with a practical remark, that we know that the seed of God, this eternal life, is in us. Because we have accepted the Lord Jesus, and he is in us, and even if we do not live up to the standard the Word gives us and which we would like to, we can know and may know the seed of God remains and abides in us. And therefore, this seed, at the origin of the new life in us, cannot sin. And now he does not say it cannot sin, but he cannot sin. There comes in this wonderful thought and important thought of which we have been speaking already. Our identification with it. He speaks here not only of the new nature, which cannot sin, it's clear, but he speaks, he identifies the person, the believer, with this new life, and therefore says he cannot sin. And that is a very important thing and help in our practical life of faith, dear brothers and sisters, that we ask ourselves, with what do I identify myself as a believer, as a responsible person, as we have seen before? Do I identify myself with that new life which has been created in me, in myself, by new birth? Or do I identify myself with my old nature? which Paul says it has been crucified, has been judged, it's at the end. And you have put on the new man, that would be the Pauline correspondence to this new life which we have received. If we identify ourselves with our old man, with our old nature, we end up, we can easily see where we end up. And I think that this is the fate of many, many Christians, that they take the wrong place, the wrong stand in their life. Stand up for Christ, stand up for the life he has created in you, he has given you, and then you will see, I am free from all this, the seductions of this world. I am no longer subject to all this, what comes from the outside, and even from the inside, from my old man, which doesn't alter, but he is gone. Crucified, judged. It's another thought, but I take this just to tell, to explain a little bit what it means, that he does not sin because his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. He is the person and which is looked at here as identifying itself or himself, herself, with the life God in his grace has given us by new birth. We have twice in this verse born of God, so it makes seven.
Yeah.
In the gospel. And one's out born of him. The numbers
in scripture are always a very difficult subject.
Is this exactly what we read in Romans 7:17? Now that it is no longer I that I do, but the sin that dwells in me, or is there a slight sin?
Shows us more the living relationship by the new birth.
made this distinction a bit more complicated. But John gives us here a distinct division of mankind that is still true in those days. We are living in, he says, the children of God and the children of the devil. Everybody belongs to one of these families. Which family one belongs will be shown two things: in doing righteousness and in loving his brother. These two things are actually the effect of the new life. We cannot see the new life as such in a man, but we can see how it shows it outwardly. And these are the two things here mentioned: righteousness, doing righteousness, practicing righteousness, and the brother, fully love of the brother. This is how the new life shows itself to love.
In this sense, verse 10 marks the passage from the first passage from verse 28, chapter 2, to verse 10, where we have as one characteristic of the Christian righteousness. To the second passage, which starts in the latter half of verse 10, goes on up to verse 17, sometimes it is said up to verse 24, which speaks of love as a second characteristic of the Christian, of the newborn Christian. But from verse 18 to 24, we have, in fact, a little bit another subject which is not connected with our manifestation, our life shown, our life towards our on this earth, towards our actions with a view to others, but towards God. Namely, it is the boldness which we have to God, which is also a clear characteristic of a true Christian who is aware of that fact. I don't want to forestall it. This boldness to God is a wonderful privilege of the Christian who has received the same nature and can thereby enter into the presence of God. But now from verse 10 on, we have love. The second half of verse 10, we have love as characteristic of someone born. Similar to that thought which we had. worldly, but he looks like a worldly. And this is true here. John, as I said before this morning, does not show, give us the abnormal state, but the normal state. And we should take that into consideration when we are occupied with these passages. It is the divine view of the normal state of Christian, of the Christianity, of Christianity, where you can and should be able to judge who is a believer and who is not, although he confesses to be one. But today, sometimes it is very difficult. And then it comes in, the Lord knoweth those who belong to him. And also what he says himself, what Jesus says himself in Matthew 11, that he will not quench
smoking flax.
So
he will not quench
the smoking flax. There where we do not see the flame of life, he sees the smoking flax, and he says, I will not quench it, where we would say, well, it's not a believer. But this is not the viewpoint here. It makes things only very difficult sometimes, that's true.
Therefore, just one sentence. Therefore, it is quite...
Just one sentence. It is quite divine that in the second half of this chapter, where we have the love, we have another characteristic, another touchstone for knowing who is a believer and not. Where the first of righteousness might fail, in our eyes, the second comes in. Excuse me, brother. Go ahead.
In verse 10, we are the children of God and the children of the devil. With the children of God, we have a brand new life which cannot be touched. We're given the power with that life by the inhabiting of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the power and the energy and the love and everything that that is part of in order to go forth. Children of the devil are slaves to Satan, slaves to Satan. And when we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read, but if also our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in those that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the thoughts of the unbelieving. So we see here a completely new, two different, completely opposite lives. Those who are children of God, we've got the new life and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit which goes with that. And as the Lord tells us in the Gospel, if you love me, ye shall obey me and do as I say. And the joys and glories of that. And the total slavery and darkness of being a child of the devil.
Sin. In 1 Corinthians 5, we do not know whether it is brother.
Paul said, a man who is called a brother, whether he is a true brother or not, he left it to the Lord. So it is a positive sign. If we see fruits, we can know the tree, but the absence, then it is to the Lord to decide. We cannot judge at this moment. We only have to do with the responsibility. Back to the Second Timothy, then we have the other side of the seal.
Wir können vielleicht noch folgenden Unterschied machen zwischen Paulus und Johannes.
We differentiate also between Paul and John in the following respect.
Johannes spricht eben immer von dieser Lebensgemeinschaft der Kinder Gottes.
John tends to speak about this fellowship of life of the believers.
In der Familie Gottes als solches gibt es keine Trennung.
Family of God, as such, there are no divisions.
Der Jesus hat für diese Einheit gebetet.
The Lord Jesus prayed for this unity.
Und diese Einheit besteht auch in den heutigen Tagen des Verfalls.
And this unity still exists today in the time of ruin.
Aber es ist klar, die Gemeinschaft am Tisch des Herrn ist ein ganz anderer Aspekt.
But clearly, fellowship at the Lord's table is a different matter.
Das steht natürlich dann nicht nur mit der neuen Leben in Verbindung,
this is not only connected, with new life,
sondern man muss auch die Lehre der Apostel akzeptieren,
but also with, the matter of accepting the apostles' doctrine,
und ein sittliches Leben führen, um das mal
zu life.
Aber ich habe einen Gedanke zu Vers 11.
But, verse 11.
Hier steht, dies ist die Botschaft.
It says, this is the message.
Man kann sagen, dies ist eine göttliche Verpflichtung.
You might say, this is a, divine duty.
Wir haben ja das erste Mal eine Botschaft gehabt in Kapitel 1, Vers 5.
We had a reference to the message in chapter 1, verse 5.
Dass eben Gott Licht ist.
Namely that God is love. That God is light.
Aber hier haben wir eigentlich eine zweite Botschaft. Und die Botschaft ist eigentlich, dass Gott Liebe ist, wobei es steht jetzt nicht so mit diesen Worten.
Now here we have a second, we have a message for the second time, and here it is that God is love, although it is not quite expressed this way.
Aber die göttliche Natur ist Licht und Liebe.
But the divine nature is light and love.
Und jetzt haben wir besonders betrachtet die Auswirkungen dessen, dass Gott Licht ist.
Now we particularly looked at the effects of God being light.
Und das äußert sich darin, dass jemand nicht sündigt.
And this manifests itself by the fact that somebody does not practice sin.
Und positiv ausgedrückt, er tut Gerechtigkeit.
And positively stated, he does righteousness.
Aber Gott ist Liebe.
But God is love.
Und jetzt ist klar, dass ein Gläubiger auch Liebe offenbaren muss.
And therefore it is clear that a believer also has to manifest love.
Und das ist eine Botschaft, die sie damals schon gehört haben vom Herrn Jesus.
And this is the message which they had heard in the beginning from the Lord Jesus.
Er hat gesagt, daran werden wir erkennen, dass ihr meine Jünger seid, wenn ihr Liebe untereinander habt.
says, hearing that you know that you are my disciples because you love one another.
Aber es ist interessant, wenn er jetzt das bei diesen zwei Brüdern, also bei dieser Geschichte der zwei Brüder, veranschaulichen will.
But it's interesting, in the story about the two brothers, when he wants to illustrate this,
dann geht er zurück bis eben an Anfang der Geschichte der Menschheit.
Then John here goes back to the beginning of the history of mankind.
Und da finden wir schon Liebe und Hass.
And even there we find love and hatred.
Und wenn es dann um die Werke Kains geht,
and when it is a matter of the works of Cain,
und er seinen Bruder erschlägt,
and he kills his brother,
dann kommt noch ein dritter Aspekt ans Tageslicht.
Then a third aspect comes to life, to light.
Eben der Tatsache von Leben und Tod.
And this is the matter of life and death.
Und das werden wir dann, dieser Aspekt des Lebens, nachher noch sehen.
And so this aspect of life will come to later.
We see two things going together here, which often in this world are separated. Righteousness and love, often they're made to be enemies of each other. We see clearly in this verse that they go together. They're part and parcel of the same thing we've heard about God being God is light, God is love. And we see that this is to be manifested in our lives too. Often love is made to be a matter of indulgence. Righteousness is made to be a matter of legality. But here we see in Christianity those who are born. Children of God, they are marked by righteousness and they are marked by love. The two things go together perfectly.
Just to underline that last point, it's notable, isn't it, that righteousness is mentioned before we come to love. God's righteousness is absolute. God is also love, but when we apply these things to ourselves, the first thing that we are is born again, born of God. The first thing we have to observe is His righteousness. That has to be seen in ourselves, and then we come to
suggest that love to the brother is not only a second aspect, but it is even part of the first aspect. Righteousness without love is no righteousness at all. This is a fuller explanation of righteousness. God is righteous, and His act is righteous according to the standard of Christ, the righteous one. And the act of God, the righteous act of God, is giving His Son, and this is an act of love. What manner of love the Father has given unto us that we are called children of God. This is love, but this is also a righteousness.
in this verse 10, we find the children of God and the children of the devil. It is sometimes being said, and rightly so, that the same expression, even in the same verse, does not always mean exactly the same as here, children. Children of God, we have heard, we are, we come by birth, born of God. So he is really our father. But we have already said, and I repeat, that if it's said that the devil is the father of the sinner, it does not mean that he has been begotten of the Satan. And I don't want to repeat that again. But here again, children of the devil does not mean the same corresponding thing as children of God. But children of wrath, for example, it is, we were children of God, or sons of wrath, and other things. That does not mean in this sense, it is, I could almost say, an oriental expression, that this does not mean origin, but character. You cannot be a child of wrath, you cannot be, and it is the wrath of God. But it means that we are, that those who are children of wrath are people characterized by the fact that the wrath of God rests on them and will come over them. And this is the same, very similar sense here. Children of the devil are people who are characterized by the fact that they belong to the devil, but they have not been engendered by him. They are not his children in the literal sense, but in a figurative sense. But the contrast is that it remains children of God, children of the devil. And there are only these two, as has been said, these two groups. And if we are children of God, how happy we are. How thankful for we can be. And maybe let us never forget to thank our God and Father for this wonderful fact, that in addressing him as Father, we manifest ourselves as his children and can be happy and thankful for it. But let us also never forget that all the world around us, all the people, our neighbors, school, comrades, colleagues in work, that if they do not believe in the Lord, are children of the devil. This does not mean that we have to hate them, on the contrary. But it is always good to keep this in mind, to be kept from making friendship with the world. How can we have friendship with children of the devil? And they are, we like to escape these consequences sometimes and not see them. But this does not mean that we have to hate them, but that this means that there is no link, no communion, no fellowship whatsoever. But what we can do and what we have to do is see them as objects of the grace of God and objects of the gospel. And that they are dear, beloved souls, precious souls, which have to accept the gospel. But as long as they have not done it, we can have no fellowship with them. We are children of God. They are children of the devil. And let us never forget that. And it's said here to make clear that there are manifestations which manifest the one and the others. And here it is, are these two things which we have, the first of which we have considered in the foregoing verses, righteousness, and the second, the love, here the love of the brother, in the forthcoming verses. But again, brotherly love is not a special thing in itself. I heard it once that a brother said, without meaning any harm with it, brotherly love was not so high as love. Peter distinguishes between love and brotherly love, and this is perhaps the reason why this distinction is being made in 1 and 2 Peter 1. which is 2 Peter 1, that is, this chain, as one can say, is evoked. Verse 5, but for this reason also, using therewith all diligence in your faith, also have virtue, in virtue knowledge, in knowledge temperance, in temperance endurance, in endurance godliness, in godliness brotherly love, in brotherly love, love. For these things existing and abounding in you make you to be neither idle nor unfruitful as regards the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, etc. There we have that. Certain distinction between brotherly love and love. But this does not mean that they are different things, but these shackles of a chain are different aspects of our practical Christian life, which are so closely linked to each other that we cannot dispense with anyone. Any of them. And there, the brotherly love is clearly shown as leading into love, because it is only one aspect of Christian